smile at me. If you're not smiling at me, God's watching. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to do this again. It's been a while, but I'm very thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for my pastor and my uncle and my parents and everybody who just kind of supported me and helped raise me up in this church. Y'all are my family as well. So I thank you for that. And tonight, this is for everybody, but I also, pastor asked me to kind of also talk to the young people a little bit. But this is really for everybody. But young people, I'm asking you, if you're watching, to pay attention. It won't be long. I'm not long-winded, so don't go to the bathroom. You might miss it. But before I get into my title, I'm going to pray. So everybody bow their heads. Lord God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this time to be able to gather and praise your holy name, Lord. And as I speak up here for a few minutes, Lord, I pray that they don't see me, but they see you, and that you speak through me, speak through my mouth, and just let us have a blessed time, Lord. Let us all be able to grow and just take something away for us to just be a little bit different tonight. And I thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So my topic tonight is, it sounds real nice and deep. I like it. It's the power of conviction and the destruction of condemnation. Real nice, deep sounder, right? But I promise you it's not going to be as deep as it sounds. I want to start this off by talking about losing. Raise your hand if you like to lose. I didn't think so. Y'all heard what I said? I said, raise your hand if you like to lose. Yeah, I didn't think so. I promise you, I'm going somewhere with this. Well, I was on Facebook and I saw something. One of my Christian artists I listened to, and he was talking about his son and his son being a sore loser. And he was saying he was teaching his son how to win gracefully. And also, like, when you lose, to learn from that. Not to take that loss and focus so much on the loss, but focus on why you lost and take that so you can come back and be a champion next time. All right, so I'm going somewhere with this. So to me, I took from that. Now, y'all may have a real hard time believing this, but I used to be a sore loser. I still can be a little, I think I'm a little better. I'm still pretty competitive. Me and my dad play a little golf, and I whoop up on him sometimes. Sometimes he whoops up on me. But I used to be a sore loser. I used to hate it. Like, we played a game or whatever, and I'd lose, and I'd just be so fed up with losing. It would even bring me to tears as a child. I don't cry no more like that. But I hated it. I was so fed up with losing, and it wouldn't make me better. The next time, I'd be so focused on not losing that I didn't get any better. I want to tell you today that condemnation is similar to being a sore loser. We're going to talk about that later. We're going to get there. But there's also a way to lose gracefully. Instead of just focusing so much on that loss, looking at why you lost, it helps you to self-evaluate, to dig down deeper. What did I do? Why did I lose? Why did I mess up again? Why did this happen? And that'll help you grow. That'll help you get better. And to me, losing gracefully is like, it's the conviction. Conviction doesn't necessarily feel good. Losing doesn't feel good, and conviction doesn't feel good, but conviction helps us grow. Condemnation doesn't. So let me see, where do I want to go here? So if y'all would turn to, and this is going to be CSB version. I don't know if y'all have it upstairs, but I'm doing 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think we're going to start it here, verse 9. So y'all stay with me here. So I'm going to start at verse 9, and it says, this is a letter from Paul. It says, I now rejoice because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance, for you were grieved as God willed, so that you didn't experience any loss from us. Follow me here. Listen to this. For verse 10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. I'm going to read that again. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. But worldly grief produces death. I'm going to stop right there. It says godly grief produces a repentance. When we mess up and we are convicted, that's a godly grief. That we don't feel good. It doesn't feel good, but that helps. That leads us to repentance. When we mess up, when somebody cuts you off on the highway, and you get that little temptation to be like, at the next light, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And you went up there, and you gave them a piece of your mind, you gave them everything you had, and then after that happened, you felt like, dog, I really shouldn't have done that. And what that conviction does, that, like, why did I do that, Lord? Why did I allow that to happen? That allows you to analyze that. And I'm going to keep going. Verse 11, it says, for consider how much diligence this very thing, this grieving as God wills, has produced in you, with a desire to clear yourselves, with indignation, with fear, with deep longing, with zeal, with justice. In every way, you showed yourselves pure in this matter. That's what conviction, that's what godly grief does. Amen. So I have a couple of points here with conviction. Conviction leads to repentance. And we already know what 1 John 1:9 says, right? Do I need to read? I'll go there anyway. It says, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we mess up, we have 1 John 1:9 to come to in repentance. We don't have to be condemned. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, so this leads us to repentance. This leads us to, I've said this several times, self-evaluation. We should self-evaluate ourselves daily. Yeah. Every single day, we should look at ourselves. And even at the end of the day, what could I do better today? And then at the end of the day, what did I do? And what could I do better tomorrow? Yeah. Amen? So I'm going to start kind of slipping over here into condemnation, talking about condemnation. So move with me. We're going to do Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, this is New King James Version now. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation. Not some condemnation, but no condemnation. For the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in his likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in that flesh, verse 4, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He did not come here for us to be condemned. Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he died for our sins so we wouldn't have to be condemned. Now, you may be asking me, all right, Jonathan, what does condemnation have to do with being a sore loser? Well, let's take it back some. So like I said, being a sore loser, when you just being a sore loser is focusing on the loss. If you mess up, let's say you make a mistake, you mess up, you allow temptation to come in. Let's say, we know this probably all happened, this happened to me. Sometimes, doesn't the devil tempt us? He does. He tempts us sometimes, right? And then sometimes we fall into that temptation, right? And then what does he do after? Wow, you know you shouldn't have did that. Now that's crazy, isn't it? The same person that told you to go do something is turning around like, oh, see, look at you. You're trash. You had no business doing that. But sometimes we get a little pre-conviction too. The Holy Spirit is telling us, don't you do that. But sometimes we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And afterwards, that little conviction like, now this, the Holy Spirit's conviction isn't condemning. It's in love. It's like, now, you know you shouldn't have did that. You didn't have no business doing that. You ain't have no business saying that. You ain't have no business watching that. That's what conviction is. But condemnation causes you to focus on what you did wrong. It just, like when you lose, I can't believe I lost. If you focus so much on a loss, because we lose. When you play a game, when you play in a sport, I played basketball, I played golf, I was in marching band. I've had several losses. I played for Sherrod High School. We didn't win a lot. We just did. I've had several losses. But, well, I should speak on the whole team behalf. But anyway, I've experienced a lot of loss. It stinks to lose. But guess what? After a loss, we didn't just go around, oh, man, we lost. You know what we did? The next day, we reevaluated why we lost. We watched film. We went back and looked. We identified our issues so we could be better next time. When you mess up, you can't focus on, oh, I messed up. Because you're not going to be able to get, but you're going to be so focused on you messed up instead of why you messed up. And I'm going to tell you, condemnation can, got my stuff mixed up. Condemnation can lead to a really dark place. You may think it's not a big deal, but it can lead to shame, guilt. You may even get to a place where you don't even want to seek repentance. Because you're too ashamed of what you did. And I'm saying that because I started to experience that at one point in my life. I felt like I wasn't getting better in the area. I was frustrated. And it's just like, God, I don't even feel like I'm worthy enough to be in your presence. Like, why keep repenting over the same thing I messed up on over and over again? But that's the trick of the enemy. Yeah. Don't do that. You keep seeking God for repentance. Now, not repenting as in, I'm going to just do it next week. Repenting as in changing your mindset of, I'm not going to do it anymore. Stay with me. And condemnation is really, it's a dark, it can get you to a really dark place. I'm going to tell you another reason why we shouldn't be condemned. So we're going to flip over to John chapter 8, verse 2. John chapter 8, verse 2. And I'm sure a lot of you have read this before about the adulteress. And I'm going to start at verse 2. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this is the woman caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us to such should be stoned." That's a rough punishment. That's a rough punishment. "But what do you say?" This they said, testing him that they might have something for which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, and through he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let them throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This lady just slept with somebody. I don't know what she did. She's adultery. Adultery, if you don't know what adultery is, I've got this kid. Adultery is somebody messing with somebody's married, husband, wife, et cetera, et cetera. So she just went out and did stuff she didn't have no business doing. But let alone, Jesus was like, "I ain't condemning you. Now go out there and act right." That's how he talks to us. Go out there and get yourself together. I'm not condemning you, but I'm also telling you not to do it anymore. Now go on out there and be great. Amen. I got to do it for my young people too. I got to talk how they talk a little bit. So y'all forgive me for my vernacular. go sin no more. We don't have to be condemned. We can come before God in repentance. And he tells us, "I forgive you, go sin no more." And we start evaluating ourselves and getting better. Let's go to John 3:16. Y'all should know this one. Y'all don't know this one. I'm giving y'all an if. Nah. I'm going to go John 3:16 through 18. John 3:16, okay. I'm talking all this smack, and I ain't at the right thing, Lord. All right, here we go. And it says, I know what John 3:16 says. I'm trying to find, y'all stick with me, Lord help me. Okay, here we go, all right. For God so, you know what, y'all? That's why. You know why I'm in the wrong. I'm in 1 John. Y'all forgive me. I'm in 1 John. That's why I knew something was wrong. Like now, y'all, I'm like, "Bible, don't let me down." I know I had it marked. I'm like, "You're making me look bad up here. You're making me look bad." All right, here we go. Give me a second. All right, here we go. "For God so loved the world." I could have gave you that first part. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son in the world to what?" Thank God it was up there. I was hoping it was up there. "For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not what?" I ain't saying it in the confidence. "Is not what?" There we go. "But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." It says it right here. "He who is in him is not condemned." So why should you be condemned? Don't allow yourself to be crippled by condemnation. It's going to affect your relationship with God traumatically if you allow yourself to waddle in why you're messing up. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. But our goal is to continue to get better and get to a point where we sin as little as possible. We're not going to be perfect. Jesus was the only one who's perfect. But just strive to be the best that you can possibly be. That's what God's grace does for us. Now, I'm not preaching a hyper grace message, but I'm just telling you that's what God's grace does for us. I'm not telling you to go out there and sin and then you can just repent later. I'm telling you to just go out there and like he said, sin no more. And if you mess up, come to him in repentance. I'm almost finished here. I'm almost finished. I told you, you got to catch it. You got to pay attention. I'm quick. So let's, but I want to talk about sin for a moment and tell you what else God's grace does. So I'm going to go to Romans 6, chapter 12, and this is going to be in the Passion Translation. I hope I'm not moving too fast, guys. Romans 6, chapter 12, the Passion Translation. And it says, chapter 12, sin, listen to this, is a dethroned monarch. You must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life. Controlling how you lived and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. I'm going to jump down to verse 16. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? Grace frees you to choose your own master, but choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. Grace has given you the power to choose your master. You have that authority and that power. Bound to choose who you obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. But, everybody say but. If you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. It's just that simple. Come on. We don't have to be condemned. We don't have to be slaves to sin. That's what God's grace does for us. Yes, it also offers mercy and forgiveness, but it gives us that power that we don't have to be a slave to sin. Y'all hear me, young people? Y'all hear me out there? That's what I'm talking about. So as I get ready to finish up here, I know what I almost forgot. Moving too fast. God put something on my heart, and I want y'all, you can write this down or you can just listen. But I feel like this was God put this on my heart. And it goes like this. It says, when you allow condemnation to take over, you're basically telling God his grace is not enough. Let me read that again. When you allow condemnation to take over, you're basically telling God his grace is not enough. You're telling God, I messed up too many times this time, God. What's your grace going to do for me? You think God ain't got enough grace? You think God just running out of grace? You think he got a, this is McDonald's and this is the ice cream machine of grace, and well, the grace machine is down. I ain't got no grace for you tonight. No, it don't work. If you work at McDonald's, that's not a diss at you, okay? McDonald's is, that has nothing to do with you. God's great. You being living in that, allowing that condemnation to take over, you're essentially telling God, you can't save me from this one. I went too far this time. You know he is God, capital G. Amen. Sometimes we be acting like he's really not God. Like, oh, you can't do what? He created literally the whole entire earth by speaking. You don't think he can forgive you for your sins and cleanse you of all that? It's already been done. So as I get ready to close out, I just want you to remember that conviction, let's remember that conviction is a powerful thing. Being convicted leads you to repentance, self-evaluation. You'll improve yourself spiritually. You'll grow and you'll strengthen your relationship with God. But condemnation is going to bring you shame, guilt, depression, maybe anxiety, making you feel like you're not worthy. But remember this, God did not send Jesus here to condemn us. He sent us here to set us free. Okay? I love y'all. I love my young people. I hope you're blessed by this. I hope y'all are blessed by this. Thank you.